I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 17th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. We're going to dive right in a second. We left a lot on the cutting room floor yesterday, but you know what? We'll circle back and pick that up somewhere. There's a lot to be addressed. Maybe we will do that in the second hour today. We'll see. But first, I want to give some context to kind of where we're at. And I want to do a hot take on the stoves. I guess that's a pun. We don't have time for that right now. We'll come back to that. For now, ESG will change everything. And, everything that is happening. Obviously, the Davos set is meeting right now. And not that I buy into all of the nonsense, because I agree with Ben Shapiro. The operative term is not elites. It should be elitists, those who fancy themselves the betters of mankind, but who are really, in reality, misguided Satanists. You know, while we're at it, we could throw Raphael Warnock in that camp. And that probably sounds strong, but this is where we're at. You know, there are people who call themselves Christian who are walking around not in the strength of God. They are not clothed in the strength of the Lord. And the reason I know that is because when someone like Raphael Warnock says, well, you know, Christians are socialists. If you're not a socialist Christian, then you need to read your Bible, because, you know, look at what Acts chapter 2 says. We had all things in common. And there is no widespread outcry of rebuttal. Not that we need to be in conflict, but just to say, well, actually, that's not true, because as I say all the time, the question is, who's in charge, who decides? And in Raphael Warnock's mind, it's the man. Whoever the man is, it's the man who decides. And in Acts chapter 2, it was clearly not the man who decided. It was the Holy Spirit who imparted to people and compelled them to have all things in common, as he put it. So it may look like from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, but I assure you it was very different in the sense that who decides was entirely different. Anyway, maybe we'll come back to that too. Brace for the impact of the so-called Great Reset, the new Marshall Plan, and so on. If you remember, the Marshall Plan was what gave Bretton Woods teeth. The economic drivers will be what Buffalo jumps us ultimately. The economic drivers are what will ultimately drive us over the cliff. There's no way they'll get away with it, you might say. And I would say, think about GDPR. I think we're seeing examples right now of what you're going to hear in a minute. The subprime contagion, look at what happened. COVID, look at what happened with COVID. We can go back and on, prohibition and the 18th Amendment. If you think that was about anything, you think John Dee was a teetotaler, you got another thing coming. If you think that was about anything other than eliminating Oily John Dee's competition, I got some moonshine to sell you. Think about the Federal Reserve Act, the Federal Reserve, IRS, Social Security Administration, on and on. Or if we want to get real serious, we could say think about JFK, MLK, RFK. It's that time of year. Malcolm, JFK Jr., Oswald, Ruby, Lumumba, Hammarskjöld, Gaddafi, Hussein. How about Breitbart, Hastings, Caruana Galizia? Anyway, with more on the ESG stuff and what to expect, here are the co-authors of The Great Reset, Joe Biden and the Rise of the 21st Century Fascism, Glenn Beck and Justin Haskins from the Heartland Institute. Go ahead, please.
ESG, it's the scoring system. It's about to be codified in the EU. And here's how this is going to affect you. There are about, I can't remember what the standard is, but there's about 15 companies that will fall under this umbrella. Ford is one. McDonald's is another.
Oh, it's way more than that.
American companies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're talking probably at least hundreds, probably thousands of American companies.
I only saw Lyft at about 15. Mm-hmm. Okay. So here's how this is going to affect. If you read the first book, The Great Reset, you know that one of its benefits to the other side, the dark side, is it has tentacles everywhere. And the insidious part of it is it just doesn't affect the company. It affects everyone in the chain of that company. So every company that drives a truck for that company, they're delivering the goods. Everybody that makes a widget for that company, makes paper for that company, whatever it is, every single company must be part of the ESG program, or they cannot do business with them. Now, let's imagine McDonald's, and this is coming because Europe is adopting the ESG standards.
As law, mandatory.
Mandatory.
Yes.
So every company that does business in Europe will have to adhere to those standards. So think about McDonald's. Every corporation, every company, every mom and pop farmer that grows potatoes or meat will have to adhere to the EU standards. Otherwise, you'll lose McDonald's. But it's not just that you have to grow them the way they want grown and adopt their, you know, environmental and social justice standards, but even the potato farmer, anyone who supplies him also has to abide by ESG standards. The tentacles of this thing will change America just because we do business with the EU.
Yes. Yes. This is a fundamental transformation of the entire Western world, of all of Europe, Canada, overnight. And the United States, essentially overnight. They've already moved it through. There's sort of three bodies in the European Union that are involved in lawmaking, and it's already been approved by all three of them in some degree. Right now, they're just trying to figure out how do we reconcile our slight differences. I've looked at all of them. They're all basically the same with just small changes. And you're exactly right. The way it works is large companies that operate in Europe, which is basically the vast majority of large companies in the United States, have a certain amount of revenue in Europe. That means they have to adhere to the ESG system, which means they have to impose it on everyone in their entire supply chain globally, no matter who they are, where they work, how large they are, etc.
And if they don't have an ESG score for that company, because the company's like, I'm not doing it, they cannot buy the products. So the score has to be done in America. It has to be done, or you can't do business with, for instance, Ford.
Yep.
Ford doesn't make all of the parts to everything. Ford doesn't make the rubber, doesn't make the radios, doesn't make the seats. All of that is outsourced.
Yes.
If that company wants to continue to work with Ford, then they must have a score. They must be EU ESG compliant, and every company they work with also. So you're buying leather from somebody and you're making seats. That leather company, if the leather is working with a farmer to get the raw leather, that farmer has to be ESG compliant.
You could just be the transportation company that transports the leather to the factory. That's part of the supply chain.
Right.
And so Europe isn't going to be imposing the rules on those people. They're going to be imposing it on Ford. And then Ford is going to impose it on all of these people down the supply chain. They have no choice. And what they'll do is they'll reach out to all their suppliers. And we know of examples of this happening. I just had a lawmaker tell me this yesterday or the day before. They know of specific examples of this already starting to occur. But you'll have these big companies. They go to the smaller ones and they say, how many electric cars do you have? How many of this? They have a whole survey of questions. And then depending on how you answer it, they'll say, okay, well, if you want to keep doing business with us, you're going to have to improve X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, you can't do business with us anymore. And that's all from this entire, it's because it goes up the supply chain. Somebody at the top, whether it's the European Union at some point in the future, or it's BlackRock, who owns most of the shares of the company, or whatever it is, someone is saying you have to enforce this all the way down the line. So this is not just about Ford. It's not just about McDonald's. It is about every other part of the economy that's going to get wrapped up in this. And by the time you count up all the different companies and you go down the chain of every big company in America that's going to be forced to adhere to this in Europe, because it's only big companies, 150 million euros or so in revenue in Europe, that are going to be forced to adhere to the specific European Union version of this. But by the time you count them all up and you go down their supply chains, it's basically everybody. There's almost no one who is going to be caught up in this. And that's the whole point. That's the point. That's why they're doing it. So this is, in my opinion, even though you're not going to hear this story everywhere, you got to listen to shows like this to hear it. You got to listen to Glenn Beck and The Blaze and places like that. But in my opinion, this is the most important story, period. If you're talking about transforming society, this is the story.
Because we've only told you half of it. We've just told you half of the story. Let me give you the other half. Same story, but there's even more that is going to be affected. Correct me if I'm wrong, but here's the other shoe. This goes up and down the supply chain. So you, let's say you're Nestle, which is a giant European company. They buy something from America to put into their products. That means the American companies have to change. This also means every bank that wants to do business in Europe has got to be on board with ESG. Every bank.
So interestingly, the most recent version draft of this put a carve out for financial institutions.
Thank God.
And but They said, we will allow individual countries in the European Union to decide if they're going to enforce that for their companies based in that country.
Of course, the banks aren't going to be hurt by any of this. They're going to love all this.
Of course.
But the other shoe here is that when Nestle sells, you can't sell to countries, companies, et cetera, that don't have a high ESG. You're not supposed to buy or sell.
If you're part of the supply chain in any way at all,
right?
Then yes. Now, if you're a customer, they've now tried to change it so that, because in the original one, it was even, you have to look at your customers, essentially.
Right. But if I go to, let's say I'm providing, you know, chocolate milk, I'm Nestle, and I'm going to provide chocolate milk for all the vending machines and all the hospitals.
Yep.
That would apply to ESG standards, would it not? Not individuals, but yeah, for the hospital, yeah. Who are big bulk buyers.
I believe so, yes. But it depends on the version, and that's one of the things they're arguing about.
Thank God.
Yeah, because of exactly what you're saying. But in the most radical version of it, which was proposed by the European Parliament, which is really one of the most important parts of all of this, they wanted, it's the most far-reaching version. It would be the banks would be included in it. It would be every up and down the supply chain.
And the only reason why they won't do that is because they need people to buy European products.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're going to sell them stuff to make products as much as buy the products.
Right.
Please buy the products, or it will be a complete collapse of their economy. It's going to end up as a collapse and total control of your entire life.
Yes.
Where you live, what you eat, where you work, how you work, all of it. And it's about to be passed in the EU.
Yes. And this is just, and this is really important for people to understand. As bad as all of that is, it's actually worse.
This is why we're having a hard time naming this book.
It's actually
because it really is. It's worse than you think.
It's worse because imagine now all of these issues and concerns we have, but you're 20 years into the future or 10 years into the future even, and now you have all of this new technology that has been from the very beginning of its development embedded with all of this ESG stuff right from its very beginning. You know, imagine what the world would be like if the internet had been designed with ESG from the start, and that's the only internet we've ever known.
Zero freedom.
Yeah, that's what all the technology in the future is being embedded with. That's what the great all about, really. That's what the book is going to focus on, and that's the next part of all of this, and that's the most terrifying aspect of it. I mean, you want to talk about your life changing, not being able to escape every part of everything you used to know being just disappearing.
Gone.
It's gonna happen if we don't stop it.
Buy hardbound copies of books and preserve things, really, sincerely. We'll talk more about this tonight at 9 p.m. on Blaze TV. It's my Wednesday night special. You do not want to miss tonight. It is all about control, and it's called, tonight's special is Farmland Wars, the Global Takeover of America's Land. It's much, much more than that. Get it at 9 o'clock, only on Blaze TV, or if you are not a member of Blaze TV.
There you go. So that was last Wednesday, by the way, January 11th. And so for whatever it's worth, a little cross promotion. You're welcome, Glenn. So, I mean, were you listening to that? You know, I don't mean to terrify and terrorize right out of the gates, but my goodness. I mean, I don't care what you call it. You know, we can split hairs over exactly what the beast of Revelation 13 is and 14 and so on. You can see this system coming into view. He causeth all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and you know, not to be able to buy or sell, lest they have some kind of mark. And then into chapter 14, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image, he receives a mark on his forehead or his hand." So, this is where we're at. And we shall continue on when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Congress is planning to give the Pentagon a raise. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I am all for the United States having the largest, most expensive military on the planet, but the Pentagon has failed their financial audits 5 years in a row. In the most recent audit, the U.S. military cannot account for over $2 trillion in assets. Maybe the military needs to spend less time trying to understand white rage and trying to force an experimental vaccine on the healthiest people around and start focusing on protecting our nation and her assets. $2 trillion in lost assets is worth investigating. People need to be fired. I say no more budget increases until the Department of Defense fixes their accounting. If you and I failed 5 consecutive audits, we'd be in federal prison. Just like the rest of government, the Pentagon needs to remember that money and those assets belong to we the people. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. So, I mean, if you read Revelation chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, well, you get the point. You know, Revelation 13, 1, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore, and that, you know, you think back to the promises, like the Abrahamic covenant, for example. And how God said, I will multiply you in this fashion, you know, using this sort of a metaphor, and when Sarah was still barren, and you keep reading, then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were heads were blasphemous names. Skipping forward to Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that you saw, so the angel says, you know, in verse 7, the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth," which is an interesting term, "whose name has not been written in the book of life, they dwell on the earth." And I would suggest that, you know, they try to make their mark and leave their mark here, you know, store up their treasure here, so to speak. "Will wonder when they see the beast that was and is not and will come. Anyway. And he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So, you know, the point being, this beast emerges out of the people, really, and it's terrifyingly swift. You know, the vision of Daniel comes to mind in Revelation 17:12, for example, the ten other places. Anyway, I don't want to get high-centered on this. This is only to say, you know, and I don't think that we have been encouraged to read these things right. I think you have to look far and wide to find anyone who really has studied to show themselves approved. And, you know, most of what's out there is given over to this kind of a system. I think we need to do a lot more research on Assyria and what's going on in the Middle East, what we have been told over the last 20 years in particular and beyond, obviously last couple hundred years, is mythical. We've been told fairy tales. And I think what H.G. Wells wrote regarding the shape of things to come is something much more along the lines of what is happening. And there are those who have given themselves to this in, you know, what you read. You know, like I said, terrifyingly swift. Revelation 13:2, for example, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." These people who are, you know, the world, young global leaders, for example, they have just this unbridled hubris. You will do exactly as you're told. And it is astonishing. Some of the stuff that got left on the cutting room floor yesterday regarding Martin Luther King Day, I mean, it's basically all of it got left on the floor, but that's my fault. I'm just awestruck and astonished to watch this. You know, the pandering that has gone on, that took place from, say, Friday to yesterday, and it continues, but I mean, that people put up with this, it is absolutely astounding that anyone would attend Raphael Warnock's church, let alone vote for him, tells us where we're at. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Welcome back. All right, I want to get going because we got, I don't know, a day's worth of stuff to cover in a short time, you know. Like Jerry Reed used to say, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Again, for those who will say or try to say, well, you know, this is the European Union. There's no way that they can, you know, hornswoggle us into this and lead us by the nose to do what was just sort of outlined by Glenn Beck and, again, the Heartland Institute's Justin Haskins is really kind of the expert. And I would say, again, may I remind you of GDPR? We've already been, you know, and that's not the only example. That's just one good one recently that, you know, of something that seems so minuscule and irrelevant. Why does it matter to us here in America? But we, I mean, the, you know, there's more to the story, as I've talked about, but taking things at face value, the reason why we have to talk about cookies on the interwebs and, you know, disclosures and all this kind of garbage is because of GDPR. ESG is going to be the same thing, only obviously, you know, things like that are a dry run. but it's more than a dry run. It's just kind of iterative in technological terms. You know, you get to your minimum viable product, like Reid Hoffman says, and then you iterate and iterate and iterate. Facebook considers itself legendary in terms of its ability to iterate quickly. And so if you get in these technology circles, that's one of the boasts. The technocrats, you know, it's a brag. There is no stopping. There is no pausing. There's only rolling downhill, picking up speed. You listen to Joe Biden. If you listen with a discerning ear, like folks that listen to this network do, I'm sure, and you hear the opportunity for sophistry in the nuance. That was interesting, you know, listening to Kevin Sorbo recently with Patrick Bet-David talking about, you know, Patrick Bet-David, I think, asked Kevin Sorbo when things, you know, what was the transition point? I'm pretty sure that's who it was. Anyway, Kevin Sorbo said, I think it was Obama and his presidency. I think this new vision that was sort of cast, you know, and I do mean that in esoteric terms, people, you know, that was kind of the first time that people saw this, what I would call theosophical, you know, Lucius Trust, work of the hierarchy kind of vision. Now, obviously, the Biden administration is a continuation of that. I intend to get to some of that, especially with this inflection point that we're drowning in inflection point sound bites. Even Joe Biden said, I believe it was Ebenezer Church over the weekend, you know, some of my colleagues are getting sick of hearing me say inflection point, whether it's him or staffers, everybody's talking about inflection point. In announcing Joe Biden's appearance, or whatever you want to call it, the sermon allegedly, what's her name? White House Public Engagement Advisor, Keisha Lance Bottoms. Inflection point. As we know, this is an inflection point in history. What's an inflection point? What exactly? What about the remarks you just made? What inflection point? Anyway, I think there is something very different in those remarks than what is obviously, you know, perceived by people at an exoteric level. All right, so let's move this thing along, shall we? To sort of start to put this into perspective where we're at. How about Norman Dodd? The interview with G. Edward Griffin, I believe it was 1982. Norman Dodd, the director of research for the Reese Committee back in the 50s, on what I would call the foundation endgame. What are the foundations up to? What have they been up to for the last 100 years? Norman Dodd, go ahead, please.
Well, Mr. Dodd, if I may interrupt here for a second. At what point in your career did you become connected with the Reese Committee?
1953.
Yeah. And what was that capacity, sir?
That was the capacity of what they call Director of Research for the Reese Committee.
Can you tell us what the Reese Committee was attempting to do?
Yes, I can tell you. It was operating and carrying out instructions embodied in a resolution passed by the House of Representatives, which was to investigate the activities of foundations as to whether or not these activities could justifiably be labeled un-American without, I might say, defining what they meant by un-American. But that was the resolution, and the committee had then the task of selecting a council. And the council, in turn, had the task of selecting a staff. And he had to have somebody who would direct the work of that staff. And that was what they meant by the director of research.
What were some of the details, the specifics that you told the committee at that time?
Well, Mr. Griffin, in that report, I specifically, number one, defined what was, to us, what was meant by the phrase un-American. And we defined that in our way as being a determination to effect changes in the country by unconstitutional means. We have plenty of constitutional procedures, assuming that we wish to effect a change in the form of government and that sort of thing. And therefore, any effort in that direction which did not avail itself of the procedures which were authorized by the Constitution could be justifiably called un-American. That was the start of educating them up to that particular point. The next thing was to educate them as to the effect on the country as a whole of the activities of large endowed foundations over the then past 40 years.
What was that effect, sir?
That effect was to orient our educational system over away from support of the principles embodied in the Declaration of Independence and implemented in the Constitution, and educated them over to the idea that the task now was, as a result of the orientation of education to away from these briefly stated principles and self-evident truths. And that's what had been the effect of the wealth which constituted the endowments of those foundations that had been in existence over the largest portion of the span of 50 years, and holding them responsible for this change. And what we were able to bring forward was that what we had uncovered was the determination of these large endowed foundations through their trustees to actually get control over the content of American education.
There's quite a bit of publicity given to your conversation with Rowan Gaither. Would you please tell us who he was and what was that conversation you had with him?
Rowan Gaither was at that time president of the Ford Foundation. And Mr. Gaither had sent for me when I found it convenient to be in New York, asked me to call upon him at his office, which I did. And on arrival, after a few amenities, Mr. Gaither said, "Mr. Dodd, we've asked you to come up here today because we thought that possibly, off the record, you would tell us why the Congress is interested in the activities of foundations such as ourselves." And before I could think of how I would reply to that statement, Mr. Gaither then went on voluntarily and stated, he said, "Mr. Dodd, all of us that have a hand in the making of policies here have had experience either with the OSS during the war or the European Economic Administration after the war. We've had experience operating under directives, and these directives emanate and did emanate from the White House. Now we still operate under just such directives. Would you like to know what the substance of these directives is?" And I said, "Yes, Mr. Gaither, I'd like very much to know." Whereupon he made this statement to me, namely, "Mr. Dodd, we are here operate on similar, in response to similar directives, the substance of which is that we shall use our grant-making power so to alter life in the United States that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Well, parenthetically, Mr. Griffin, I nearly fell off the chair. I of course, it didn't, but my response to Mr. Gaither then was, well, Mr. Gaither, I can now answer your first question. You forced the Congress of the United States to spend $150,000 to find out what you just told me. So why don't you I said, of course, legally you're entitled to make grants for this purpose, but I don't think you're entitled to withhold that information from the people of the country to whom you're indebted for your tax exemption. So why don't you tell the people of the country that's what you've told me? And his answer was, we would not think of doing any such thing. So then I said, well, Mr. Gaither, obviously, you forced the Congress to spend this money in order to find out what you've just told me.
There you go. So, you know, that's what's been going on behind the scenes, but not really behind the scenes. I mean, it's pretty obvious if you're paying attention. And so the folks who have cooked up the scheme, the devilish, you know, work of the hierarchy sort of scheme, or that are operating in that sort of fashion, also got control of foundations, also got control of the economic mechanisms, really of the entire world, and used that to advance this agenda and to keep people naive and, you know, feckless and inert, not understanding, you know, on this day in history, for example, just some, curious notable events, historical events. On this day in 1961, Ike, Dwight D. Eisenhower, delivered the farewell address. Remember the military-industrial complex farewell address? And on the same day, former Congolese Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba was murdered. Remember Gaddafi's what I call 9/11 truth speech, where he said we should reopen investigations into the assassination of Lumumba and Hammarskjöld's plane crash, and so on and so on. On this day in 1969, Black Panther Party members Bunchy Carter and John Huggins were killed, I would say assassinated. Operation Desert Storm began on this day. The Czech Republic applied for membership in the European Union on this day. Cape Canaveral Air Force Station launched GPS satellite on this day. And the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal, Matt Drudge broke the story on Drudge Report on this day. That's today. Yesterday was an interesting day, too. I didn't mention, you know, there's more. But yesterday, some things that I think, you know, sort of coincide with what's going on. The League of Nations held its first council meeting in Paris in 1920. January 16, 1920. You know, and then you fast forward 1945, Adolf Hitler moved to the underground so-called Führer bunker. 2001, Bill Clinton awarded Teddy Roosevelt the posthumous Medal of Honor for his service in the Spanish-American War, which is curious when you listen to what someone like Smedley Butler has to say about all that. 2002, the war in Afghanistan. National the UN Security Council unanimously established an arms embargo and the freezing of assets of Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and the remaining members of the Taliban. You know, the assets that were the hundreds of millions of dollars, the compliments of the CIA, Ollie North. Yes, I lied, and I lie again. And also, more recently, I wanted to mention yesterday, are we headed into a break? I don't hear anything yet. In 2020, January 16, remember 2020? The first impeachment of Donald Trump commenced, moved into its trial phase in the Senate, I should say. And at the same time, while you were fixated on Trump impeachment, the U.S. Senate ratified the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, the CANAMEX agreement, as a replacement for NAFTA. That's what's been going on. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Thank you.
video camera converts the picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. Maybe we'll save some stuff for the second hour and not try to cram too much in this segment. So, other fun facts. Let's see. On this day in history, 2007, the Doomsday Clock was set to 5 minutes to midnight in response to North Korea's nuclear testing. Again, I would encourage you to go look at the spending, military expenditure by country, and just see, you know, list of countries by military expenditures. Let's see. Where does North Korea rank? Is North Korea a threat to anyone? I don't even see North Korea on the list anywhere. You know, is North Korea on the list? Of course. I'm just saying, you know, so we don't know exactly how much they spend. That's what we're told. I'm sure maybe, you know, the CIA just hasn't published that in the fact book yet. Anyway, I can assure you it is a paltry sum compared to the nearly $1 trillion, the trillion-dollar annual spending of the United States military-industrial complex, speaking of Ike. So, but, you know, we have to be hoodwinked and shock doctrined into and terrified into, you know, acquiescing and capitulating. Rioting began between Muslim and Christian groups in Jos, Nigeria, resulting in at least 200 deaths. This, I think, is symbolic of the hidden hand of, you know, the letter of Pike to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. On this day in 2013, former cyclist Lance Armstrong confessed to his doping in an airing of Oprah's Next Chapter. 2016, Barack Obama announced the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. You know, Mr. Nobel Peace Prize, who bombed more wedding parties and funerals than anyone could possibly imagine. Double tap, we call it. And in 2017, the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 was announced to be suspended. That was 2017 already. Some interesting births and so on. Anyway, that's the end of the first hour. Stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back after this short break.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.